Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
So tonight, I'm going to share that. You know, bring your notebooks. He's probably one of the, for me, I probably, you know, I've listened to different people over the years teach around Bible prophecy, but I believe him probably be one of the greatest teachers or scholars around Bible prophecy that I've listened to personally. So not that there aren't others, and he'll tell you that, but and not that he says I have everything figured out, but he's well studied. And so I'm going to share that message that was preached in our King's Alaska church. And it's been powerful, and I'm excited about, you know, I'm excited to even just listen to the message again. I really got touched by God this week as I listened to it. So that'll be tonight we'll have normal service time, but we'll show that video tonight. Praise God. So I want to start. You know, we've been in a series around faith, and have preached a lot around faith, and on Wednesday nights we've been sharing. Around the work of the Holy Spirit, because we understand as a church we need the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. I mean, it's the very nature of God, the very part of God. And so on Sunday mornings we're going to kind of launch into a new series, and it's relative to the Holy Spirit. But you know, I would just, even if I'm giving it a heading at the beginning part of this, is it would be this: God's divine guidance. God's divine guidance. And you guys think, well, where's Pastor going with this? Well, I want you to understand that we need guidance from God, and God is divine. The very nature of God is perfect. And I want you to understand that God is perfect in all things. He's perfect in all ways. He's omniscient. You think about it. God is everywhere. Like, you know, God knows your inner thoughts. But it's important that we understand that God, he wants to divinely guide the church in this hour. He divinely wants you to walk out the purpose and plan that you have for your life, each and every one of us. Guys, he has a plan for each and every one of us. Amen? And, you know, one of the greatest tragedies in life, and I believe this to be true, is to lack knowledge of where you're going or knowing how to get there. You know, I don't know if you've ever run into that issue before. It's like, I don't have the knowledge, or I don't have the know-how to know how to get here, or whatever it might be, but you know that you need God to be able to do that. I remember in 1994, some of you guys that maybe are a little older, some of you guys don't know what it's like to be without a GPS. Some of you don't realize what it's like to be without a cell phone that can give you directions everywhere you go. But hey, us old timers, you know what we use? We use the map. Amen. Can I get a show of hands? Amen. So, you know, we use the map. And I remember that in 1994, I started on a journey. I was on my way to Key West. I went to Morgantown to pick up a friend, and I said, I got laid off for a couple weeks, and I said, I'm going to Key West. And the first thing that I had to do was to stop by a store and buy a map, because I needed a map to get to Key West. You know, you can naturally assume that if you go south on 95, you're going to eventually catch it. But, you know, there are detours, there are things along the way, and sometimes staying on the interstate or even back roads may not be the right way to go. Amen? I don't know if anybody realizes, but a GPS sometimes, when you go into bigger cities, you'll be off on some 4 one-way streets thinking it's the shortest route, and you knew as soon as you took that road, it's like, I'm going the wrong direction. But it says it's the shortest distance, and you're like, nah, that's not true. So we're not always in this position where we should depend upon GPSs. But I would say that, you know, church, if we, you know, we've been preaching a lot about vision, and we've been, you know, even today taking up our vision offering. And it's important that we understand vision, God's vision is great. But if you don't have the strategies, you don't have the ability to be able to see where you're going or know what direction you're moving in, you can get in trouble very quickly. But I got good news for you. God is here to divinely guide each and every one of you. It's his plan. It's his plan. It's his plan. Amen. You know, divine guidance, it truly does come from God. I think sometimes what I love about this topic, and as I've been studying about it, it's like, you know, we've got to allow God to do it, though. And I think even just building a framework for this, because, you know, we can be like, I know where I'm going. And we can be so intent. I knew I was going to Key West. And, you know, I bought a map some miles down the road, even outside. I can get through West Virginia. But when I got into another state, I didn't actually know where I was going. I got a little lost. And I think sometimes it's like, you know, sometimes when we get a little out of bounds, sometimes when we get a little off track, it's like, you know, and I got to go back in and check in with the master, amen? Because he knows the direction I need to go. He actually knows what's best for me. And a lot of times it's like, well, I think I know what's best for myself. There's where you get in trouble. Church, there's where we get in trouble when we think we know what's best. Well, I'll just do it my way. Man, I've learned over any, you know, I don't, I'll put myself in the box today. I've learned over amount of time. It's not how much I know or how much that I can do, but it's truly learning how to depend upon God for everything. So God, good news. God is here to divinely guide you. He's all knowing. I mean, think about it. God knows. He knows the direction you need to move in. He knows the plan for your life. Amen? But this is the kicker, right? Do you know the plan for your life? Do you know the purpose for your life? And I believe that one of the things that God wants to do as we get ready to go into a new year, he wants us to be positioned. That's why I feel like it'll be very important to go through this, talk about this, to recognize the leading of God in our life. Amen. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to go to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. You know, and it's interesting because, you know, while vision shows you the promised land, we've been preaching about the promised land. While vision shows you the promised land, God's guidance is what enables you to get there or arrive. See, the promised land's out here, right? Like we seen this building some 6 months ago. When we walked the building and we as a church were praying, we could see what God wanted to do, but then there's the direction. There's when God says, you know, move now. And this is a prime example that in 6 months, you know, and honestly, like I said, when we turned this building around in 32 days and people off, they come and volunteered and painted and put carpet down and painted walls and hung massive TVs. I'm like, how are we going to get those things up there? You know, like, they look big, they look heavy, you know. But, you know, it was like, no, we can do this. So it's like, you know, God had a purpose in getting us here into this location. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Isaiah 30, verse 21. It says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Now take your Bible, go to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17. You guys there? Amen. Isaiah 48, verse 17, it says, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Father, I thank you, Lord, today for this word. And I pray, Father, that, Lord, as this house is being established, Lord, even in a new location, Father, I'm grateful and thankful for everything that you're doing. And Lord, I pray that, Father, you know, Lord, may we have ears to hear, Father, the direction we're to move in, the things that we're to do. Father, give us a heart to receive even your word today, even that your word would penetrate, Father, you know, penetrate any stony place in our heart, Father, that we would become alive in your word. And Father, I thank you, Lord, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So Lord, I pray for a great release of faith today in this house in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So just even to get a picture of where we're headed, as a child of God, and listen, if you're not saved, if you're not saved, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, today you can do that. You can receive Jesus, and you can know that you're on your way to heaven. You could say, well, you don't understand what I've done. I don't need to understand. He does. But, you know, the Bible says by confession, salvation's made. So you can confess and give your heart to Jesus Christ today. And, you know, and then this whole thing about being divinely guided by God will begin to make a lot of sense. You know, if you're not saved, when we're talking about being divinely guided by God, it's not going to register. You're not going to have a lot there, because what we're talking about is that we the church are being divinely guided. So today, salvation's for you. Amen. You're in a safe place. If you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today you can do that. Praise God. But I want you to understand this, that God is committed to His Word. Church, God is committed to His Word. If you will establish that in your heart today, God is committed to His Word. He is committed to His Word. The Bible says that He watches over His Word to perform His Word. So, you know, church, you know, if there's one thing that we can't deviate away from, there's one area we can't move away from, that's God's Word. It's not that I think this is what it means or this is what it should mean. It basically, we start in the Word, we stay in the Word, we end in the Word. Amen? And I love that. Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth actually says that a lot. But God is committed to His Word, and He's ready to offer direction to as many that are willing to be led by God. You know, but I want you to hear this today, because there's got to be a willingness to be led. There's got to be a desire to be led by God. Not well, I'm going to do it my way. Can I tell you something? That when you get saved, and it took me some time, I'll be the first to tell everybody, it took me some time to get rid of me. It took me some time to get rid of pride. And you've got to watch that ugly thing, because it will try to rise up and it'll try to redirect you and say, well, you can do it your way. No, I don't want to do it my way. I want to do it God's way. Church, we have to do things God's way. And that's why, you know, why do we have a go team? Why do we do the things in the community? Why do we have outreaches? It's because we believe that everybody should have the opportunity to hear the gospel, but to also receive salvation. So we create those opportunities. I'll come around to that later. But God is committed to His Word. The key is that you have to be willing to be led. Can I tell you, because some people, they never hear this. God wants your life to flourish. God wants your life to advance. You know, because some people, they get this thing determined in their hearts. Well, life is hard. God did this. Has anybody ever heard somebody say, well, God did that. God took that person out. God caused that car wreck. God caused this. No, there's an enemy. There's a devil. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God said, but Jesus said, but I have come to give you life, and life more abundantly. So because a lot of people, I think, you know, coming into the church, it's like, you know, so many people are like, you know, they have something to say about the church. They have something, they have an opinion. But I tell you, you know, like, it's like, does your opinion line up with God's Word? Because mere opinions can honestly get you in a lot of trouble. Amen. They really can. I'll say amen to that, because I know that. But God is for you. How does God, and so even today, I want to just go through some very specific things that, you know, maybe you didn't know, maybe you do already know, but maybe it's like you can jump into this and begin to study it for yourself, and you'll begin to see, hey man, I got a revelation of that. Because see, this is the key about the Word of God. The more you read, the more you study, the more you hear, the faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. The more you're in it, guess what happens? The more your spirit man becomes healthy. The more you grow in the things of God. You know, I don't know. I remember a time when I was saved within the first few years. And I missed church for like 3 weeks. Because of me. It wasn't because of Miranda. I wasn't mad at her. But, I had my own little battle going on. One Sunday I went to play golf. I left church. I went to church to play. And I was on a golf outing. And, you know, and Miranda never said a word to me. And I was just like, well, I'm going to go play golf. You know, I got this tournament, you know. because, you know, I'm not PGA. How's that? You know, I had this tournament I was going to go finish last in, but I had to leave church, right, to go play golf. And because they needed me, right? Because I wasn't all that. So, and it was like, and as a result of that happening that week, the next week I didn't go. Something happened. It was me. I was getting in the way. But I realized something very quickly in my Christian walk. It doesn't, you know, little disruptions in life, little distractions in life can ease its way in. And it's next thing you know, it's like you start thinking about self and less about God. You start focusing on yourself, and you start thinking, well, you know, me, I feel, I this, me, that. And what it had done was it put me in a place where I wasn't able to be in a place where I was being led by God. Can I tell you that, for me, I'm a big advocate for church. I should be, right? I'm a pastor. But I'm a very big advocate for church because I know it's a place where I learned. I know it's a place where I confess my sins weekly. Amen. Weekly. Not just one time. Weekly. Hey, who needs salvation? Me. Who needs salvation? Me. I was doing everything that I could do to get it right. Amen. And, you know, somewhere along the line, it clicked. It clicked, you know, after about 5 times, 10 times running to the altar, who knows? It clicked that, you know what, I can take care of some of this stuff myself by being led by God, by actually changing my behavior, right? Everything's about change. You know, we want the things of God, but it's like we want to know Him, we want to be led by Him, but it's always going to go back to this thing, and I talked about it on Wednesday night, it's always going to go back to your faithfulness and your obedience. You have to choose. Anybody say choose? I hope you're getting something today already. You're going to have to choose to be faithful. You're going to have to choose to be obedient, even when it's hard. Even when it's hard. Even when your flesh is like, your flesh is warring against your spirit, and your spirit's like, shut up, flesh. You know, that we would get strong in the spirit when we would tell our flesh, shut up. Shut up, flesh. That's what you need to pray in the Holy Ghost. If you've not received that, you're praying in the Holy Spirit. That will help you. That will help you overcome flesh. But God is committed. Please hear this today. God is committed to His Word. Church, we need to be a people that's committed to His Word. Not just on a Sunday mornings. Not just in early morning prayer. Those are moments that we meet. Those are moments that we gather. But church, we have to be committed to His Word. You as a Christian need to be committed to a time that you're reading the Bible, that you're studying the Word, that you're getting the Word in you, that you're, you know, maybe if you're driving to work, that you're listening to the Word. I'm telling you, you can cover a lot of chapters of Bible running up and down between Morgantown and Bridgeport. You can listen to the Word of God and get the Word of God in you. Amen. There's things that you can do to make sure that you're strong in the Word. I love this. You know, in Jeremiah 1, it says, Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I hasten my word to perform it. In the Bible, and basically, He watches over His word to perform it. What's He watching over? His word. Do you have His word? Do you have His promises? I think I heard somebody say recently, it was like, you know, I started writing down the promises of God. Amen. That's a great place to start. Church, it's a great place to start that I have promises in God. I can tap into the promises of God, that I can live them out. I can have them for myself. I don't have to be poor because it's in the Word. I don't have to be sick. It's in the Word. I don't have to be depressed. I don't have to be anxious. Because it's in the Word. So I do everything that I can do to search it out. I do everything that I can do to grab a hold of it. So I'm not in this place of battling. Can I tell you that the Bible offers, if you have an issue, you have anything going on in your life, the Word of God, the Bible will, this will fix stuff. The Word of God. He watches over His Word to perform it. Attitudes. You know, whatever it might be. He watches over His Word to perform it. So am I lining up with His Word? Church, we can't deviate away from truth. We can't deviate away from His Word. You know, Kings is a very, I don't know if you listen to other pastors, but Kings is a very word-heavy church. We do a lot of fun things. But we don't deviate away from the word. That's like even tonight, like I knew. I can't teach what he teaches. You know, and I honor people that have greater knowledge, and he has a greater knowledge base of Bible prophecy. I could sit and take notes, and I can learn from that. But when we have somebody that's, you know, it's why we bring people in. It's why we bring guest speakers. You know, it's we're not, you know, we're to be all things to all people. But people carry anointings. And you see that and you recognize that. Praise God. Praise God. But he watches over his word to perform it. His word, God's word, is his bond to you. It's his covenant to you. It's his covenant to you. Oh, how precious it is that when we get saved, it's like I have an agreement with God, God Almighty, the big guy. I have a bond. His word is his bond. And you know what I love about it? It's like when we see that covenant, that ability to walk into that covenant, you know, the one thing that we get that the early apostles didn't get and some of the people 6,000 years ago didn't get was they didn't get a Bible. They, you know, now we've got Bibles everywhere. I'm thankful for Bibles on apps. Amen. I love that. I do. I personally, I love how easy we have access to the Word of God. I think God intended it that way in the last days. Because you know why? It's because people, you know, people, anyway, let me come off that. So understand this. It's not, you can't muster up enough strength. You can't do the things that God can do. God wants to divinely guide you. He wants you to understand principle. He wants to strengthen you. Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles, go to Psalms 119, because, you know, this is a great passage of Scripture. Many of you know this. Many of you know this passage of Scripture. It's not about our strength, but it's about being divinely. Because, you know, if I think that I can do this in my own strength, that's where I make a big mistake. I need God's guidance. We need, church, we need God's guidance. We need to fully trust God. Amen. Above all else, we need to fully trust God. But see, the Word of God, it will shape our destiny. It will shape every situation in our life if we allow it to. Psalms 119, verse 105. I think one of our early morning prayer teams is going through Psalms 119 now. It's pretty long, huh? Bible says in Psalms 119, 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So the word of God, what does it do? It directs you. The word of God is in this place where it's providing a direction for you in your life. It's like, what do you need? What do you know? It's like some people say, well, I need vision. I need hope. I need healing. I need salvation. I need this or I need that. Where do you find it, guys? You find it in the Word. And you know, and what I love about this, it's like, you know, it's not, you know, I remember when I first started, when I got saved in the 90s, I you know, what were the concordance? Some of you old guys are, you have a concordance, right? It's like, you'd be like, I'm going to go study the Word. And you'd go to the table and you'd throw out five books that were like this thick. And you thought, you guys younger people are like, what's that? What's a concordance? And I remember looking at concordances. I was like trying to study and trying to make sense of all this stuff, right? Well, I need to, you know, you'd hear somebody that's studying, a great scholar. Well, you need this too. And next thing you know, you'd have Dakes, then you look and get a Dakes out, and you're like, what in the world's all this about? You know, Dakes Bible's great. But you'd have all this stuff out, and you'd be like, I read this passage, and I want to, that's great, right? It's great that you've learned how to navigate and how to study. But, you know, even today, the studying of the Word is, to be honest with you, it's a lot more easier. And we act like, you know, it's like, you know, somebody said to me the other day, you know, I got this problem or I got this going on. You know, what would you advise? I said, well, I would advise you to Google 10 scripture, or just Google, use Google, right? Or use this, just write in what's going on and ask for scriptures around that issue. That's a great idea, they said. Because, you know, I know this. I know God's word works. God's word will work, but it's like you have to begin to see it for yourself. Now, can you pray for somebody and help somebody? Yeah. Help pull them along, help provide counsel, yes. But there's nothing greater than when somebody has revelation of the word of God for themselves. That God wants to do this for me. I'm being guided. Because see, this is the thing. God wants to guide you. The Bible, even when we talked about it, He will direct your path. It's God's will. It's God's will. He wants to direct your path. But again, you have to be in that place of being willing to be led. Willing to be led. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. God directs your path. I think sometimes, you know, we don't realize that when God calls, He truly will provide. When He calls, He truly will provide. You say, Pastor, you're talking about the calling of a pastoring or a prophet or evangelist or teacher, no, apostle. No, I'm talking about in all areas. That when he calls to you for salvation, He will provide. He will provide. He will. You know, can I tell you that God will give you the exit strategies to leave the old life? You have to be willing to be led. You have to be willing to be led. You have to be in that place of saying, okay, I'm going to go down this path. He's directing. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about? Where it's like when you get saved and it's like you got friends over here and they're like, you know, wanting to do this. And it's like, yeah, you know, but I'm being led over here. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit taking place in a person's life. He's directing you. He's guiding you. That's what's He guiding you into? All truth. He's guiding you into all truth. He's guiding you into purpose. He's guiding you into vision. Oh, do we need that, church? Do people need that? You know, it's the one thing when people get saved, you know, and I've said it many times, when people get saved, they'll get a promotion of you can make quadruple the pay, but you've got to work on Sundays. You know, and guess what too, though? You can make 8 times the pay, but you got to work on Wednesdays. You know, and then, Tuesday nights when that life group's going on, you know what? I'll give you 12 times the pay if you can work Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays. Because, see, the enemy's not, anything that he can do to pull you away from purpose, from being guided by him, That's what the enemy, it's like what I said the other night. Like some people the enemy doesn't even have to mess with because they're so stuck in their head. They're so stuck with problems. You know, the enemy walk by and be like, I don't need to do anything. They're taking care of themselves. They're not being led by anybody. They're being led by their own flesh. They're being led by their own selfish desires. So the enemy doesn't have to do anything. He'll just go on and find somebody that's trying to do something for the kingdom. And he'll try to create havoc, or he'll try to throw obstacles out in somebody's way. That's why we're doing things for God. You know, why do we have opposition around this building? It's because this is God's place. If it were just our place, you know, I know it's not. But if it was just our place, it already would have failed. It would have already failed. But this is God's place. Does the enemy? You know, think about, you know, the 30, 40 people that have been saved over the last 6 months that have come in here. Did the enemy want that to happen? Well, God didn't. Yeah, let me back up. The enemy doesn't want people saved. I need to rephrase that. The enemy doesn't want people saved. Did God want people to be saved? Yes. Did God foresee that this would be a church and that people would be coming to salvation here? That, you know, at August 31st, Halloween hits on a Friday night, that we're going to fill this parking lot up with people, with kids. We're going to be handing out things. We're going to be doing all kinds of stuff for kids. Did the enemy didn't see that, but God's seen it. Why? Because God knows. He knows the future. He knows the number of kids that are going to come here, give their heart to Jesus Christ. He knows that. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. See, your assignment, you know, your assignment on earth from God is so important to Him. You know, sometimes they start small and they grow. You guys with me today? That sometimes you're given an assignment, and you know, sometimes that assignment is even a test. Will you be faithful? Will you be faithful with the little? Will you be faithful with a little? That little bit of a test. You know, Brother Chris and I were out. You know, we were out as a team yesterday just canvassing, and we dropped the girls up what park are we at? One park. Wherever the helicopter's at. Anyway. Wave Tech Park. Yeah, we were there at that park, and we dropped the girls up on top, and we drove down at the bottom, and it, you know, and there was a guy down there. We drove right on down by him, and he was down there shooting basketball by himself, and you know, we just pulled up. Hey, man, how's it going? You know, and he just see appointments, assignments from God, or they're God. You know, it was like we knew once we started talking to him, there was a purpose in which we were talking to him. Now, ultimately, it's salvation. We want him to get saved. You know, that and not even necessarily knowing about it. Pastor, why didn't you lead him to the Lord? Well, it was because, you know, you can sense very quickly whether somebody's open to receive something or not. You guys understand that, right? You can. So it was like we were in that place where we just begin to talk to him. And we say, hey, do you have kids? Yeah, I have a kid. So me and my girlfriend, we have a kid. And I said, well, you know, hey, we're doing a big outreach August 31st. You know, here's a flyer on that. He's like, well, you know, I'm celebrating God, and you know, God's given me this day. And I'm like, God is so awesome. He does. He's given us the sun, and what a beautiful day. That's what Chris and I were like. Man, this is a great day. Look at what God's done. And then we just ministered, and we witnessed to him. And I looked at him, and I said, you know, I said, I've never said this to anybody, but I dare you to come to church. He seemed like one of those guys I could dare. You know, you shouldn't do stuff like that. But I'm like, you should come to church. He's just like kind of looked. He says, you know, I might check you out. And as we hung out with him for a little bit longer, we just, you know, have a nice day. And we left, and Chris said, look, he's looking at all the information on the cards now. And as we pulled out, he was looking at the information. See, God, guys, assignments from God, you don't always know the assignments that you're on. You don't, but it's like, are you willing to be guided and led? You know, can you realize today that you can be so sensitive to the Spirit of God that when you walk into a place, God's divinely put you there for a reason and for a purpose, to pray for somebody, to see somebody healed, to lead somebody to salvation. God does those kinds of things. You know, and I even know this, it doesn't have to be a planned outreach to be used by God. Well, you know, I can only do it from here. Pastor can only preach on Sundays from here. If I'm not preaching out there what I'm preaching in here, we've got a problem. And I believe that. I wholeheartedly believe that. It's why I go out with the teams. It's why we do those things. It's not that we just preach here, but we take the gospel outside as well. Amen. Amen. Your assignment on earth is very special to God. You know, you're being divinely guided by him when you are willing to be led by him. You know, the word is so important for the church. And I would say this, you know, church, we can't deviate away from that. Hold fast to the Word of God. Hold fast to allowing it to penetrate, to change you, to mold you. Allow the Word, allow the Holy Spirit to bring change in your life. Maybe it's conviction to get something right. Maybe it's God putting his finger on one thing in your life. So, you know why he does that, why he puts his finger on one area of your life, it's so that, you know, once you have revelation, once you've gained the knowledge of it, guess what your responsibility then becomes? It's not that you've just figured it out. It's that eventually you're going to be used of God to be able to teach somebody that very thing that you broke free in, that you've been used in. See, we're all called. We're all called. Pastor, I'm not called to be a pastor. I'm not called to be an apostle. I'm not called to be a prophet. We're all called. The Bible says this, that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That basically means once we've received Jesus Christ as Lord of our life, we have an obligation to him. And we have an obligation to the Word. You know, sometimes people don't even realize what they've signed up for. You're a team member. You're a part of God's army. Amen. You know, amen. I'm looking at, even today, I'm looking at generals. I'm looking at people that, you know, will be generals in the faith, looking at people that are going to be like, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to trust God for everything. Amen. That's what I see when I see people in church. I see people that are, you know, we're going to go further because we're willing to be guided by God. We're willing to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Direction, I'll say this, direction is, it's the birthright. You say, birthright, what is a birthright? When you get saved, when you give your heart to Jesus Christ, you're guaranteed a birthright. You're guaranteed promises. And discovery is the key to that. What do you mean, Pastor? It's like you inherit. You know, when you get saved, you now inherit the promises of God. It's not that you possess all things, but you now have your inheritance. Your inheritance of Jesus Christ. So now the next level is to understand, you know, how do we come into the knowledge of Christ Jesus? Ultimately, yes, it's through his word, but it's cultivating a relationship. I know we use this term, well, you got to have a relationship with Jesus. What's that look like? I didn't know. I don't know if anybody was like that. When you got saved, you people say, well, you got to have a relationship with Jesus. I got a relationship with my wife, but I didn't understand what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus until I started to get into the word. until I started hearing the word, it began to shape me. It began to mold me. I hope somebody's getting something out of this today. But you know, it's an unfortunate thing that in 2025, you know, I love technology. I love all things that it offers us today. But ultimately, you know, our society, and it's happened over a number of years, probably since the 80s, we've now become this microwave groups of people where we want it now. You know, and it's like, you know, we like just 2 minutes, I just expect it to happen. Or 2 minutes, I just, you know, and it's like, you know, anybody have a crock pot? I mean, you're going to cook a nice roast. You don't do it in the microwave, do you? You put it in a crock pot. You let that thing go for a little bit. You go 6, 7, 8 hours. You let that thing marinate. You open that thing up, and that roast smells so good. Anybody thinking about roast now? Amen. So, Pastor Miranda, make me a roast. Go home and make me a roast. That sounded pretty, that didn't sound very good. Go home and make me a roast, woman. I better watch what I say. Praise God. But, you know, you can get, you know, honestly, it's like, you know, they tease me all the time. You need to be on Instagram. I have Instagram, but I'm just, Miranda will send me funny videos. We like send funny stuff to each other. And she's like, I sent this to you like 4 weeks ago. I was like, well, I'm not on Instagram. So I guess, you know, they say anybody that's over 50 is on Facebook. I don't know. I don't know what that's all about. So, but you know, you can even see that in our world today, you know, how many of you see those get rich stuff? Become an investor. You can become an investor in 3 minutes. And you can make $100,000 a month. You make 100 grand a month. Just sign up for this. Sign up for that. That's what our culture is inundated with. You can become Superman just by a manual. You can learn how to fly just within 1 week. You can know how to fly. You can be the best motorcycle rider in the world. Never have ridden a motorcycle, but you can do it and take this course for 3 hours, and you can jump the moon. I mean, it's like, you guys, you understand that's the world we're living in. Just it's fast. It's you know, we're in, and we see things like that. But see, God's wanting to divinely guide us all the time, not just in a quick instance. See, Christianity is not just a quick thing. It's a lifetime. It's you living your life for God divinely all the time. It's that when you get to the end, he'll say, good and well done, my faithful servant. That's what this is about. Guys, and this clock's ticking. You know, come tonight. Please come tonight. You need to hear this. You need to see. You need to see the hour in which the hour in which we're living in. I think that, you know, that where's the, you know, it's like, there's where's the urgency? In 2001, when it was, you know, 9/11, right? People, the church flourished. People ran to the church. You know, Jesus is coming. War's breaking out everywhere. War's been breaking out everywhere for the last 25 years. And the Bible talks about this. And you know, this is not the time for the church to put its head in the sand, but to be divinely ordered by God, that our steps would be ordered by Him. We do as much as we can do. Do as much as we can do. Amen. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for the direction that He's pushed our life in. You know, and you know, I wish that I could tell you that, you know, that we completely had everything figured out. I'm trusting God and believing God like many of you for many things. But I know that my heart in this hour and in this time is there's no greater love than I have for his church, his body, this house, the people of this house, and to see God's word move across this state, to see lives changed and transformed, to see transformation ministries in every county, to see buses in every county hauling people and getting people to the house of God, telling people about salvation, what one must do to get saved. We do everything we can do to win souls. You know, the leading and direction of the Holy Spirit, it's important because, you know, many of you can say this, and, you know, even for my own life, I remember, you know, when we're guided and we're directed by God, man, it feels good. It feels good to know that we've walked into something. You know, there was a time I remember an opportunity come my way early on when I was saved, and it was to go into business with somebody. And it's like, you know, I was like, yeah, I want to do this thing, and I want to make a bunch of money, right? Who doesn't want to make money? I mean, really? I mean, like, and so my mind got wrapped up in this. I want to make a bunch of money, and I remember this. I remember the Holy Spirit saying, no, no, don't do that. So, you know, even God's guidance, as divine as it is, it's like sometimes it's like you've got to pay attention to the no, no. See, God will guide you, but I think sometimes it's like we're thinking about how we're championing our futures. God's going to guide me into the future, but sometimes God's saying, wait, stop right here. Danger, danger, danger. Now, I read a story yesterday. I told Miranda, I read this story, and it was by a pastor. His name's David Oedepo, and he's got the largest church in the world. He's in Nigeria. We need to pray for Nigeria. They're persecuting a lot of Christians. And there was a time in the 80s when Oral Roberts was actually going to their nation. And he was supposed to open the conference up for Oral Roberts. And he was not in the city that he was going to be in. And his assistant came to him and said, we have to get to the conference. You have to open up the conference. And something in him. Can I talk about the witness of the Holy Spirit? Because see, the Holy Spirit is a witness. He'll help you with things. And so he was basically in this place where he felt from the Holy Spirit that inner witness. No, don't get on that plane. Don't get on that plane. And his assistant's like, you know, you don't understand. People are depending upon you. It will affect the church. It will affect the ministry. So contrary to what the Holy Spirit, what he was listening to the Holy Spirit, he's like, okay. So they get on the plane, and the plane is diverted to another city. Didn't land in the city that he was supposed to be in. And so they sit in the airport, and they were sitting there for a period of time. And he says, they waited. They caught another plane, and it didn't make it to where it needed to go. And at that point, he said, how many miles? This was the second plane ride. He said, how many miles is it to the location that we're going? He's like, well, it's 300 or 400 miles. He said, let's just get a car. He said, at this point, he said, the enemy had free reign. Because he said, what I didn't do was I didn't yield to what God had told me to do. And he said, at this point, I had lost. I was basically just whatever happens, happens. He said, because I was discouraged, because you hear this, because I was discouraged, I was put off by this, I didn't care. And he said, let's just grab a car and we'll just drive there. He said, as he said, a station wagon pulled up. He got ready to, they opened the door for him as he was getting in the car. He said, if you get into this car and drive, you're a dead man. He closed the door and he said, I'm going home. Three different times. See, like that. See that we see sometimes God's guidance, like guiding us out here to be strong, to be bold, to be courageous. Yes, but it's like also learning to pay attention to that inner witness, right? Like the divinely being guided by the Spirit of God. You know, because you know he knew the voice of God. But even when God said, "If you do this, you're going to die. If you go this direction, you're gonna die." So God's guidance isn't only, you know, it's there to help us, but it's there also to provide warnings, right? You know, it's like, does anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever been like, yeah, stop that. We did a business deal one time. The Holy Spirit told us both, don't do it. What'd we do? We did it, and we learned from a very valuable mistake and lost money that we didn't really have to lose. Those things can happen in life. Being divinely guided is so much better, so much easier. You know, so I would say this, be okay with the leading of the Spirit. When he says, no, don't do this. And guys, please hear me today. That's why it's so important to know the will of God. Not my will, his will. Because a lot of times we mistake, well, my will's this, I want to do this. Does it line up with God's will? His perfect will, his pleasing will, does it line up with him? Does it line up with the Word of God? Praise God. Got ready to ask for Minister Lehow to come to the keyboard. He's not here, is he? Praise God. Thanks, Brother Ryan. You know, the Bible says this. See, divine guidance, it is our birthright. It's something that we have, that we're given. And God says this. He says, I will instruct you. In Psalms 32, verse 8, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. And I love that. I love that right there where it says, I will. I will do this for you. Church, that's what God's wanting to do. This is the hour, like, man, if we could just set ourselves up to be guided by him, not guided by, not be guided by the wrong things. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know what the wrong things are in anybody's life. You can sit here and call off things that are wrong. But see, that's how personal God is. What's the wrong things in your life? That you need to be, God, I'm not yielded in this area. I've not been willing to be guided in this area because, you know, I'm a hardhead, or I'm this or I'm that. You know, these are things that we internally all have to be in this place of working these things out. But Jesus says, I will instruct you. I love that. I will give you a hope. I will give you a future. And see, when we begin to see God like this, everything shifts. The subtleties, the Holy Spirit. You know, I didn't really have time to get into it today, but I will because, see, it's just touching on it even today, because see, the witness of the Spirit is what David Oyedepo, Pastor David, what he dealt with was the witness, the inner witness of the Spirit. See, then her witness will tell you no. Are you yielded to the no? He'll tell you to go. Are you yielded to the go? Oh, Pastor, I'm just trying to figure it out. I gotta tell you something. Let me give you a tip. Jump in. That's when you figure it out. We didn't figure it out staying at home when the Lord called. We begin to make a plan. We begin to pray. We begin to fast. We sold stuff. We didn't have, we had the plan, yes. But we had to jump into the plan. I remember that when I went, we sit down and talk with our pastor about the call of God, because we knew we were called Christians. We were called, we were serving in a church. We did for 12 or 15 years. And they said, we can't explain it, but the Lord's asking us to do this, to go. What do we need to do? He said, you can do this or you can do that. I said, the Lord said, go now. He said, go now. And he says, well, then you can't do this. He said, this is what I would do. And we received his counsel. He prayed for us, anointed us, and we went. Guys, divinely guided. We were divinely guided, but see, you know, I think sometimes in the guiding, the whole picture wasn't there. The whole picture in life isn't there. It takes you taking a step of faith. That's faith, right? That's faith. That's why we need faith. It's like taking that step. I'm yielded to God. You know, I wish I could tell you that when, you know, even when we answered the call to be missionaries, pastors, I have it all figured out. 6 months, I was ready to leave. I was like, Lord, what is this? It's a town of 125 pastors. There's only 800 people here. Only we found out that the church just called everybody pastor. I'd go, well, who are you? I didn't introduce myself as pastor when we moved there. I'm Brad. Oh, you're that guy. You're that guy. You're that guy. Who are you? Pastor so-and-so. Pastor so-and-so. I remember coming home. I was like, man, why are we here? They have churches. Why are we here? And it was piece by piece, God's instruction. His instruction. See, when you're yielded, when you're yielded, when you're willing to yield to the things of God, it's his divine plan, it's his purpose, right? When you're yielded to it, it's in it where you're figuring it out. It's like worship, Gracia. Like, I didn't know how hard worship was for you guys doing multi-tracks. I didn't even know it was called multi-tracks. Pastor Rand was like, no, it's like, it's a big deal. They have to time every song and remember the words to every song. I'm like, oh, that's pretty hard, right? And they're like, yeah, it's really hard. And then Pastor Chris Davis said to me, he's like, they need in-ear monitors, and they're on their way, amen. With Minister Tom, who's the best in our whole network's coming to train and do work here with you guys. It's nice to be able to call people that know what they're doing, because I don't. There's a gift. So I didn't know that. But it's like, you know, people that are willing to go, people that are, it's the willingness. It's a yielding. I choose to yield above all else. I'm going to yield myself and yield to God to be guided by him. Even when it hurts, even when I get my toes stepped on. Yet pastors get their toes stepped on. It's okay. Big toes. Not really big toes, but it's okay. But even as a Christian, you know, and I think that's the thing. We just got to learn to be okay. Because he's got me. Guys, he's got you. He really does have you. And it's, you know, we don't have to push back. I'm not pushing back against people. Because when I push back against people, I'm pushing back against God Almighty a lot of times. Right? Man, God has a purpose. He has a plan for each and every one of us. Let's go ahead and stand this morning. I will instruct, back to that scripture real quick. Psalms 32:8, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in all the ways you should go. I will guide you with my eye. See, every great future in the kingdom is rooted in discovery of God's word. It's rooted in the discovery of God's word. That's where we find our hope. What does God's word say about you? Hey, I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. Some of you need to say that. You'll bring that condemnation. You bring, I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. He made me. He loves me. Maybe you never felt love before. Maybe you went through life and you didn't have a father. You didn't have a mother. Maybe there are things that happen in your life where it's like, man, it's just like, I've never known God's love. I've got good news for you today. He's here to say, yes, I'm here to love you. son or daughter. I'm here to love you. Everybody just bow your heads this morning. If there's anybody in here today, you would say, Pastor, I don't know God's love. And I want you to be real with yourself today. Be real with what's in your heart. Or you may even say, you know what? Yeah, I've known God's love, but you know, I'm asking that question. God, where are you? Where are you today, Lord? You're asking that question. Can I tell you that, you know, even today, if you're not feeling him, God's with, you know, his Spirit's with you. When you receive salvation, he's with you. The Bible says he won't leave you nor forsake you. So simply today, if there's anybody here, you would say, Pastor, I need that love. I need that love. I need to know God's love. I want you to come down here today. I want to pray with you. If that's anybody, just slip up a hand so I can see this morning. That's anybody here today. You'd say, Pastor, that's me. Will you pray for me? I need to know God's love. I need to know salvation. If that's anybody here today. Hallelujah. Take it, everybody saved. You've given your heart to Jesus Christ. I never want to leave a service not knowing that you've not had an opportunity to receive salvation. Everybody should have that option to receive salvation. You know, I it's not a challenge to be a Christian. It's not a challenge to be born again. It's not a challenge to be saved. And some people live like it's just a challenge. See, it's not a challenge when you choose to be guided by him. So I want you to leave here today. Guys, be willing to be obedient. Be willing to be faithful, to be guided by him. Hey, listen, when he says no, he means no. When he says yes, go through this door, then you go through that door. And let me add a third component. You know, there have been doors that I felt like were open. I had to go get counsel around. I had to go talk to somebody. Is this an open door? No, that's not an open door. Because they had the experience. They had seen it before. They had known before. I'm thankful for the relationships that we have in people in ministry. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, this is it for the day. Everybody's saved. Everybody's on the way to heaven. You know, as we start this series, that we would become attentive to the working of the Holy Spirit. God himself. That we would become attentive to that. We would be obedient. We would be faithful. And can I add this last thing? God needs you. Church, he needs you. So if anybody, if any of you are like, I'm just kind of waiting. He needs you. He needs you now. He needs you now. He needs you now. Praise God. Just lift your hands this morning in the house. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for just who you are. And I thank you, Lord, for your instruction, your word, Father, that you give us, each and every one of us. And Father, I pray that, Lord, even today, I pray favor and blessings over this house. Father, I thank you that your word says that they shall be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. Everywhere they go, they shall be blessed. So, Father, bless them today in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen, guys. Hey, we'll see you tonight. Don't miss tonight. It's going to be a great night in the Lord. Praise God.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.